Patty?
Ethan?
It is March.
It is indeed March, which means basketball, right?
Yeah, but I'm not here to talk about basketball.
No.
I'm here to talk about Brexit.
True March Madness.
The real March Madness. And that means that March 29th, Britain's deadline to leave the European Union is only a few short weeks away.
Brexit.
In fact, there is another vote tomorrow on Theresa May's plan to leave the EU. And with the deadline so close, the idea of a hard Brexit is becoming much more of a reality.
A hard Brexit. For those who don't know what that is the scenario where Britain leaves the EU with no deal in place, no clear transition plan, no new rules to govern trading relationships. They just leave.
And of course, economists are trying to make predictions about what would happen in the scenario.
Which is hard because it's difficult to predict what's going to happen on doomsday.
Exactly. No one has any idea what's going to go on. And that's the thing. The reason they're having trouble with it is that there's no precedent. No one knows what's going to happen with Brexit because nothing like Brexit has ever happened before.
Or has it? You see, that assumption that this hasn't happened before may not be entirely true. I'm Paddy Hirsch.
And I'm Ethan Brooks. Today on the show, we're going back in time and halfway around the world. We'll explore a Brexit precedent in the most unlikely of places and see what we can learn from it.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Zoom. When you can't be there in person, Zoom. Zoom is used by millions to connect face-to-face. One easy platform for all your communication needs. Visit Zoom online to set up your free account today. Meet happy with Zoom.
Support also comes from NPR sponsor, Rothy's. Rothy's is the everyday flat for life on the go. Each style is machine washable and made from recycled plastic water bottles. Go to rothys.com and enter code INDICATOR to get your flats and free shipping.
Order!
Now, the last time we talked about Brexit on the show was in December. About a month after that, Prime Minister Theresa May finally brought her plan to Parliament, which you just heard, for a vote.
The ayes to the right, 202. The noes to the left, 432.
Wow, that is the sound of defeat. This rejection and the fact that we're only weeks away from a deadline makes a hard Brexit look more and more likely.
The British government is very aware of this scary possibility, and they've published a few economic reports on the subject. But the thing is, the reports focus almost exclusively on the long term, which is kind of strange, because the threat of major economic problems in the short term is very real.
Very real, because as part of the EU, the UK is bound to the rest of Europe through this intricate network of business and trading relationships that have developed over more than half a century. Right? Those relationships are based on rules. And if you throw the rules out overnight, you jeopardize the relationships.
So I wanted to figure out why economists aren't taking a closer look at that short-term effect. So I spoke to Peter Morrell. He's a professor of economics at the University of Maryland.
Economics, I think, is a wonderful science, but it has its limitations. Economics is really attuned to studying situations where people are not in disequilibrium, not reacting to circumstances they had not anticipated. You know, economists never deal with this cutting off of rules and cutting off of the possibility of trading on their existing relationships because it doesn't happen very often. You have to look for analogous situations. And that's the whole point of the Czechoslovakia example, that there are very few analogous situations, and that is one of them. And it was very dramatic.
The Czechoslovakia example. You see, Peter spent years of his career studying Eastern European economies. So when Brexit started to pick up steam, Peter saw some parallels with Czechoslovakia.
It was a country that most people regarded as one of the better run socialist Eastern European countries. In many ways, they were regarded as the country that was most prepared to accomplish this mammoth task.
That mammoth task started in 1989 with the fall of the Soviet Union. Czechoslovakia has a peaceful revolution and, as a first order of business, needs to instate some serious economic reforms. They need to dismantle the rules that govern their planned economy and replace them with market capitalist rules. Scrap one set of existing trading relationships and replace them with another.
they were preparing really by destroying, figuring out how they were going to destroy the existing institutions.
Here we can draw a first parallel with Brexit. Czechoslovakia had to remove itself from a complex economic system, and Britain has to do the same thing.
Brexit is about destroying a set of rules that had been relevant to the British economy for a long time.
But while it's been almost 3 years since the Brexit decision, Czechoslovakia only had about 1 year. And at first, things were actually looking pretty good.
The economy was extremely buoyant in 1990. Industrial production increased over the year by a considerable amount. Retail sales were extremely buoyant, rising by as much as 30% over the year.
So after a very good economic year, finally came the big day, January 1st, 1991, the day Czechoslovakia switched to a market capitalist economy.
Literally overnight changing the system.
So Czechoslovakia walks out of the Soviet Union. No plan, no deals, just, and I can't resist this, Czechsit. And what happens?
A huge collapse in economic output. So we have an economy that entered a era of precipitous collapse, even in a country that was extremely well prepared and extremely well run.
And of course, Czechoslovakia's woes did not end there. The economic problems brought about a revival of tensions within the country, and 2 years later, they separated into the Czech Republic and Slovakia.
And there, it's sort of interesting to think of England and Scotland.
Right, because in the Brexit referendum, Scotland voted very, very strongly to remain in the EU. 62%, a wide margin, voted to remain.
So the thinking is, if a hard Brexit causes economic problems in the UK, Scotland might hold another referendum on independence, then vote to rejoin the EU, which is possible, I suppose. But I have to say, I feel like we're getting ahead of ourselves here. Is it really appropriate to compare Brexit with Czechsit? I'm just going to keep calling it that. The UK, right, is a modern, international, outward-looking economy. Czechoslovakia was a centrally planned, walled-off Soviet economy. They're two very different things.
So I had that thought too, and so I put it to Peter.
Do I feel comparing a hard Brexit to the transition from socialism in Eastern Europe is a bit of a stretch? Yeah, but we're really entering the unknown here. And I do believe that observations of very real practical situations, such as the transition in Eastern Europe, give us a very important perspective that will allow us to think much better about what could happen in the next month or two.
He's not exaggerating when he's talking about it being an unknown, because any number of things could happen in the next few months. Much of it will be decided by a few key votes coming up very soon. Tomorrow, Parliament will vote again on Theresa May's deal with the EU. If that fails, Parliament will vote on whether they should just leave without a deal. If that fails, there'll be another vote on whether to extend the Brexit deadline.
That is a lot of votes.
That's a lot of votes. It's,
not
it's
much
real
time.
March Madness.
I know, it's out of control. But if all those votes fail, no deal is reached in time, it's going to be a hard Brexit. Peter isn't exactly optimistic about this scenario, so I suggested to him that if people mostly agree that a hard Brexit is a bad thing, then they'll figure something out. They'll avoid it, right?
Just like the world avoided the First World War, right? If everybody knows something is going to be bad for everybody, they can still get into it. It requires patient negotiation, cooperative agreements to stop things happening. And politics sometimes doesn't breed those.
You know, Ethan, I was actually feeling okay about Brexit until now, but listening to Peter Morrell, I'm actually feeling really bad about Brexit.
Yeah, I tried my best to get to, you know, inject some positivity, but it did not work.
Well, I think the lesson here is that you better check yourself before you wreck yourself.
Oh my God, please, enough, Patty.
What?
You're
too
out
on the
of
nose?
Control.
Too soon?
It's too much.
This episode of The Indicator was produced by Darius Rafian and Constanza Gallardo. Our tireless intern is Willa Rubin. The Indicator from Planet Money is a production of NPR.